Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category 5.tv newsroom. Under a government proposal to cut emissions, new homes in suburban England will need to be fitted with electric car charging points. A migrating tagged male stork blipped out of contact on April 26th, only to run up a $2,700 phone bill a few weeks later. Amazon wants to fill the gap left by the closure of stores like Toys R Us by sending out printed catalogs. And a friendly reminder, in case you haven't already upgraded your web hosting to use SSL, effective this month, Google is warning users that their websites aren't secure. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category 5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. New homes in suburban England will need to be fitted with electric car charging points under a government proposal to cut emissions. Also, wherever there's on-street parking, ministers want new streetlights to come with charge points. Details of a sales ban on new conventional gas and diesel-powered cars by 2040 are also expected to be set out. The strategy comes at a time when the government is facing criticism for failing to reduce carbon emissions. The government's target is to reduce the UK's greenhouse gas emissions by at least 80% of 1990 levels by the year 2050. The proposals, announced by Transport Secretary Chris Grayling, aim to make it easier to recharge an electric car. Grayling said that the proposed measures would mean having the UK having one of the most comprehensive support packages for zero-emission vehicles in the world. He said the prize is not just a cleaner and healthier environment, but a UK economy fit for the future and the chance to win a substantial slice of the market estimated to be worth up to £7.6 trillion by 2050. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
So, this is absolutely incredible, and it seems inconceivable to me because here we are without anything like that in North America. But I wonder to myself, and this is not me trying to be in any way like dark or anything, but how are they getting the electricity? Like, is it the electricity not being sourced in a way that's not green? Do you know,
mm-hmm.
Robbie?
You know, my knowledge of UK electrical generation is well outdated. And I know that it was very much skewed toward gas and coal generation.
Right.
Renewable resources were very low. Now, I'm just checking if things have been improving. And I do see that it looks like renewable energy is on its way up. Like, we're looking at almost 25% at this point. Now, in the past, the UK has, as I mentioned, very much been skewed toward gas, coal, with very little nuclear renewable energy, and so we're starting to see that rise, and that's part of, you know, initiatives to push for renewable energy sources. So I'm looking at energy-uk.org.uk, and renewable technology, which is natural energy to make electricity, fuel sources like wind, that's a big one, that's something that's been really booming. wind, wave, marine, hydro, biomass, and solar. So now making up 24.5% of electricity generated for the UK. So that's a huge rise over, say, 10 years ago when it was closer to like 5%. So I'm pleased to see that. Because it's an interesting point that you raised, Sasha, where it's kind of, you know, where is the advantage to switching to electrical motor vehicles if the electricity itself is being generated using dirty means, right?
Right. You know what? This is interesting and timely for me because I just bought a car. And while I was looking for cars, electric cars came to my mind as an option. But I was really scared. Well, I scared off by the price point because right now electric cars are still way more expensive than the gas cars. But then also charging them for me wouldn't be as easy. Like there are some charging stations in the city we live in Barrie. But then charging it at home seems like you have to I rent. It
you'd
seems like I would
install.
Have to
you'd have to have install a thing something. Installed that you would have to pay for. Absolutely.
Right. And I would have to ask my landlord because of course it's his electricity bill, and it seems easier in this particular case just to buy a small little four cylinder car and fill up a small gas tank and not make a huge dent in the fact that it's little. I'd rather be electrical, but I feel like we've got a little bit of time before it actually happens here.
You don't think we're ready for it? And I can understand, like you mentioned about there are charging stations here in our city of Barrie, Ontario, and it's true, but they are all kind of clustered together, and they're only near a particular shopping center. So, hey, if you happen to be shopping at that shopping center, or maybe you're lucky enough to work there and have an electric car, it makes absolute sense. But if you live or work on the other side of town, to have to drive 25 minutes to a charging station and then, you know, dilly-dally in the shopping center for however long it takes to charge your car, it just doesn't seem practical at all.
So close. We're getting there.
Working on it.
Exactly.
Maybe what the UK initiative is doing is making it practical. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it takes. Maybe it takes having them installed in every house.
Exactly. Wow. All right. A migrating tagged male white stork known to the Polish environmentalists who were tracking him as Kajek blipped out of contact on April 26. That, however, did not stop him from making good use of the SIM card in his GPS tracker, with which the bird, or somebody who found the GPS device and picked it apart in order to get at the card, racked up a $2,700 phone bill. Kajek was last located at the Blue Nile Valley in Sudan on his way back home to Poland after successfully making his annual 6,000 kilometer or 3,700 mile trip to Africa when his GPS tracker showed that he had stopped moving. Then, when his GPS tracker showed that Kajek had stopped moving, researchers at the environmental group Ecologic assumed that the bird was dead. They had placed the tracker on him in April of last year in a fairly routine practice. It was April 26 when things got weird. That was when the scientists who were monitoring Kajek's tracker noticed that the bird's signal started moving again, taking a roundabout 25-kilometer trip before it went dead. Then, a number of weeks later, on June 7th, Ecologic got the giant bill from its phone company. The group believes that in June, someone pulled apart the tracker to get at the SIM card, then used it for the marathon call everyone, everywhere spree, running up the $2,700 bill. Ecologic said that it doesn't know who made the calls, and they expect that they'll have to fork over the money for the phone bill out of their own pockets. So... Now
I use pay as you go so that if my SIM card or my phone ever gets lost, the worst that could happen is they could use up the remaining balance.
Right.
And to think that they had a calling plan on a SIM card on a bird's tracker and then didn't cancel it when the bird stopped flying.
Right. So my question is really... Mm-hmm. If my SIM card gets stolen,
yeah,
right, I'm responsible for the bill.
Yeah, you sure are. And
so
I think the key thing is to call your service provider and cancel it immediately. Let them know that, hey, my SIM card. And the worst that can happen is that they cancel it and then you find your phone or whatever, and then you just buy another SIM card for $10 and they port the number over to the new SIM card.
Okay. I have a second question, and it's kind of an environmentalist question. They're putting these trackers on birds,
yes.
So I don't know exactly how they equip them, but then they just, like, once the bird stops moving or is presumed dead, it's just like, right? Because the tracker is dead, right? So are they just letting it just be where it lays?
And I'm then sure, it's... you know what, Sasha? I'm sure that if it was, like, nearby, that they would go and collect it. But realistically, I mean, these birds are migrant birds that are traveling great distances. They could go down in a jungle or, you know, who knows? I don't know where they fly, but in a, I think that they would, you know, could go down in a very dangerous place where right. they're not going to go in and look for, and who knows where it is, right?
And then what about predators, right? So
sure.
you put a tracker on and a predator attacks the prey that you put the tracker on.
That's possible.
Now they've ingested this. Maybe there should be, we did a news story once about making like parts of hearts with like silicone or it was something that was non-toxic, obviously, because it was in a human body. Could they not come up with some sort of tracker device that maybe would dissolve
ingestible?
After?
It tastes like gummy bears?
Exactly. Something
Perfect.
Like that.
I think they might be larger than that. I mean, but it's a GPS unit, right? With a battery that has to last a fairly good amount of time and be trackable from GPS satellites. So what it boils down to is it's probably not reclaimable in most cases. And in this case, I think it was just... Oh, like facepalm that they didn't cancel the service on that SIM card.
Yeah, they will never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Amazon's move into retail has largely hinged around opening or acquiring brick-and-mortar stores. But this holiday season, the online retailer will reportedly try something different, printed catalogs. We're talking about a massive holiday-themed catalog dedicated entirely to toys to conveniently fill the void left behind by the recently shuttered Toys R Us chain in the United States. Amazon's toy-specific catalog will be mailed to millions of Amazon shoppers' homes and will also be given away for free at Whole Foods locations. While the report compared this catalog to similar Christmas season toy catalogs from Toys R Us, Target, and other big box retailers, it did not confirm whether Amazon's planned book will be as big as those 100-plus page catalogs. The report also didn't clarify if or how the book will include price information, since the site hinges so largely on dynamic pricing and Prime exclusive deals. This is actually a super cool idea, I think, from a marketing perspective for people who perhaps haven't delved into the world of online shopping yet. And this
you think
is
those
like,
exist?
Yeah, I think they. I think so. Right?
And Lyndon wants to know, like, why are they stepping backwards here as far as the way things are done?
I think that this is not a step backwards for them in that they're trying to get new customers. I think this is a new customer acquisition situation.
Yeah.
So they're really like capitalizing on the nostalgia of the catalogs, but they're sending them or they're having them picked up at Whole Foods, and perhaps, you know, grandma or grandpa, or could just be anybody who doesn't online shop, opens the catalog and sees how easy it is to get all of these things right directly to your house.
I think that's one perspective. Now, my perspective goes right where Lyndon and the Foo in our chat room are thinking about the Sears Wish Book. And, you know, that was the big, thick catalog that came out every year and had everything. And we would sit down as kids. I'm not going to date myself here. Sears just went out of business, so it could have been just a few years ago. Who knows? We would sit down as kids and we flip through, and our Christmas list was like circling the things that we wanted. And our lists would be, you know, if it was handwritten, it would be page 273, I-4. And that was like what I wanted for Christmas.
Right.
Or for my birthday or whatever.
Right.
So there's a nostalgia for people who grew up in that era. And I think, Lyndon, that it's not so much a step backwards as it is improving loyalty for the nostalgic. Look at the retro gaming systems that we look at here on the show. Look at the NES Mini and the SNES Mini and these kinds of things. And you think, these are appealing to the nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
People are probably not going out and getting retro games because they're amazing. It's nostalgia. And there's something about when it looks like a little mini Nintendo Entertainment System that really brings it on home.
Right. I really do wonder how they're going to do pricing. They probably won't have prices in the catalogs.
They can't.
They cannot.
They can't. Especially when it's such an international system. Like the whole Amazon idea, you're going to have to take, maybe you can scan things. We'll see. But take those codes, take them onto the website, and then get your pricing.
Yeah. I want. Yeah, they might have those whatever they're called, the QI codes.
QR. Now we're really stepping back in time.
Oh, is that old?
I don't know. QR codes really, you know, looked like they had a lot of potential, and everybody was like, "Oh yeah, let's get a QR code," and they put it on every product, and then they just kind of fizzled, and nobody uses them. It just kind of seemed to die as a technology, I think.
Maybe until now, maybe they'll be in the catalog.
Maybe, or they'll bring out something new, and the Amazon app will be able to scan from your phone the new type of code that Amazon implements. You watch for it. I'm going to patent that right now. Marking it down. New QR code from Amazon. Got it.
This is exciting. Yes. For the past several years, Google has moved toward a more secure web by strongly advocating that sites adopt HTTPS encryption. And within the last year, they've helped users understand that HTTP sites are not secure by gradually marking a larger subset of HTTP pages as not secure. Effective this month with the release of Chrome 68, Chrome will mark all HTTP sites as not secure. Developers have been transitioning their sites to HTTPS and making the web safer for everyone. Progress last year was incredible, and it's continued since then. Over 68% of Chrome traffic on both Android and Windows is now protected. Over 78% of Chrome traffic on both Chrome OS and Mac is now protected. And 81 of the top 100 sites on the web use HTTPS by default. Chrome's new interface will help users understand that all HTTP sites are not secure and to continue to move the web towards a secure HTTPS web by default. HTTPS is easier and cheaper than ever before, and it unlocks both performance improvements and powerful new features that are too sensitive for HTTP.
Wow. Sasha, wow. All that a lot of viewers heard right there is HTTP, HTTPS, HTTP, HTTPS, and what does it all mean?
And I'm wondering, yeah, I understand like the S stands for secure, is that right?
Yeah, well, HTTP is the protocol that your computer uses in order to access the internet. So when you look at your web browser's address bar and it says HTTP:// and then category5.tv or whatever website you're on, amazon.com or whatever, but it starts with HTTP is the old way, or now HTTPS. So HTTP was the original protocol that allowed this information, transfer protocol. So it allowed the transmission of that hypertext information, which are, if you back up to the 1960s when the internet was invented, hypertext is like website content, the text, the way that it interacts with one another, the way that hrefs links connect to one another. And so that protocol is used to send and receive, transmit and receive data. So then it was realized that, hey, this is not very safe. We're sending a lot of information over a protocol that can be intercepted and read. Now, hypertext, think about it, text. It is text. It is readable by anyone who sees it. So you've heard of man-in-the-middle attack, MITM, man-in-the-middle. That is somebody who has a server or a computer or a router or a modem or a device on the internet or network that is listening for text traffic, and they can then save that, log it, aggregate it, and read it. So if it's confidential information, now they have access to that. So what has happened over the past couple of years, and now Google is forcing, is that all of that traffic needs to be encrypted. So when you look at your address bar, it now says HTTPS for Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure, or SSL. And so then you can rest assured that the information that's being sent to your computer from the server and back to that server from your computer is encrypted, so it cannot be intercepted by that man-in-the-middle attack. Well, it can. Correction, it can be intercepted, but it cannot be understood. It's no longer plain text. It's encrypted data flow. So Google has put their foot down. They've said, okay, we're forcing the internet to be HTTPS. Now, if you run Chrome and you go to a website that is not HTTPS, which means it's secure, it's It's going to tell you it's not secure. So if you run a website, you have to set up SSL certificates and you have to enforce that anyone who goes to your site, it automatically puts them on HTTPS. That's important. And it's also, you know, it's not just to stop Google's browser from complaining about it. No, it's to protect the end users. Category 5 TV, we switched to HTTPS years ago because we want to protect the confidentiality of our viewers, our users, as they interact with us. So that's important to us, and it should be important to you as well. You can check out, just quickly, Sasha, if I may. I know you're like, hey, you really kind of took over
my
show
here. No, this is perfect. This has been very helpful.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Let's Encrypt is a free service that allows you to set up SSL certificates on your website. They have an amazing, amazing website that you simply tell it a little bit about your server, and it will give you the codes that you need in order to set this up on your computer. So it's letsencrypt.org. You can head on over there. I've just brought it up on my screen just to confirm I had it right in my mind. Letsencrypt.org. What it means is that you can have secure hosting at no extra charge, because in days gone by, one of the things that kept people from setting up SSL, secure certificates and encryption, is that it cost money. Now Let's Encrypt has changed all that, and it's free. So check out letsencrypt.org. We love free. Yay. When it's good. When it's good.
Thank you so much, Robbie. And big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thank you so much for being here again with us this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Please go to our website, category5.tv. Track us down. Track down this episode, number 564 of Technology TV, and submit your comments. Give us a thumbs up. If you're watching on YouTube, don't just give us a thumbs up. Give us a subscribe as well. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. We'll see ya.